This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL regular season is over. The postseason is upon us. Welcome into Wild Card Week. It's Money Moves. Jonathan Von Tobel flying solo today. Stormy Bonantoni will be with us. We'll get to that momentarily as we have a lot of great guests and a lot of stuff to take in today on a very busy day. New regimes starting in the National Football League as well. So let's not waste any time and get right to what we usually do to start the show.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is The Rundown.
As I mentioned, Stormy's going to be one of quite a few guests we've got on the slate today. She's going to come up in about 15 minutes out across the country as she is getting set to take in the FCS National Championship game between Illinois State and Montana State. We'll get her thoughts as Montana State is about a 10.5-point favorite. Total is 56.5. Seems like some good weather for football. See if Illinois State can continue this run and upend Montana State. Among them as well, got a lot of smart folks with us. One of them maybe not. No, I'm just playing. Chris Passero, very smart professional bettor and a big Drake May MVP stan. We will have him make the case for the Most Valuable Player Award and congratulate him as he is our Circa Friday Football Invitational Champion. Dustin Sweetelson will be along, as well as Greg Peterson, as it is now time. Conference play started in earnest last week. College basketball will take center stage for the most part throughout the week as we get closer to the NFL postseason weekend. Also on the schedule for today, do you approve this move? No, I am reading my old notes. We got something else in store for you. Which NFL Awards favorite is the weakest as we are looking at it? We have a lot of heavily priced favorites in the NFL Awards market at this point right now. We will exclude Most Valuable Player, but I think it's an interesting exercise to look at all of these odds on favorites for the NFL Awards and decipher which of the favorites is maybe the weakest. I've got two candidates, and it doesn't just tie specifically to the odds. I think the easy answer is just look at the team, look at the guy who is not favored by the highest margin and go with that. But I think there's some sneaky candidates to pull some upsets in some of these NFL awards markets. But we begin with what I think is the headline for today. We don't need a recap. We don't need to look back. We look forward. The NFL postseason is here. Wild Card Weekend gets started on Saturday. Looking forward to six NFL games, win or go home, stretching all the way out to next Monday, a week from now, and very excited to get started with what we're going to have in the NFL postseason. So let's start there. We'll start in the AFC Wild Card and run through our opening lines and some interesting notes as we kind of run through these. Do have a postseason bet. We'll get the best bets at the end of the program. But let's start with the Los Angeles Chargers on the road against the New England Patriots. Most Valuable Player aside, this looks like a great matchup on paper. New England opens up as a 3.5-point favorite with a total of 45.5 against the Los Angeles Chargers. I think this is probably a skosh too high. We were talking about this, many of us, yesterday and, of course, throughout the weeks. Where New England stands in the grand scheme of things from a power rating standpoint is going to be pretty interesting. And what you do with NFL home field is going to be pretty interesting in a postseason like this. But the Patriots right now being viewed as the better team than the Los Angeles Chargers, I would agree with that. I think what you quibble with is the degree to this team being favored on a neutral. The other part about this, and I think there's a lot of good, interesting little nuggets for every single one of these games, and I think one of the first things you're going to look at here is New England's offense and how it looks against the best defense opponent it's faced since week 8 against Cleveland. It's been a while since this Patriots team has faced a group like the Chargers. 7th in expected points added per play. 8th in defensive success rate. 9th in expected points added per pass by opponents. And 3rd against the run. This Chargers group has been very, very good. And the Patriots, they've been great themselves. You can argue all you want about the schedule, whatever it is. Patriots beat the crap out of everybody that was put in front of them on an easy schedule. And that is a positive sign for New England. The best offense in the National Football League by expected points added. The 4th best offense in terms of success rate. Patriots have been absolutely incredible. We'll get to a little bit more about the news and some of the nuggets around this. One of the things that I think is going to be really, really interesting is when you look at the Patriots' efficiency through the air versus on the ground, how that matches up with the Chargers, and, of course, how does Justin Herbert deal with the pressure that will ultimately face him in a game like this? We'll have more on that coming up a little bit later. Buffalo Bills on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This game looks absolutely great, and I was talking with Kelly Bidlin when we were coming in. Producer Danny as well. I've kept track of this. I've talked to 6 people about this game, and all 6 have said Jacksonville. Now, that's never really the ultimate sign at this point right now, but I will say that I do echo the sentiment of what I believe to be many at this point, hearing that I at least thought that Jacksonville would open up as a small favorite here of 1.5. So not the biggest flip in the world if it goes from 1 or 1.5 to 1 or 1.5 the other way. And likely we could get that by the time we get the kickoff. But this stretch of play that Jacksonville has been on, specifically on offense, because their defense has been wildly consistent all year long. They've been great. They're one of the better defenses in the field right now. But this stretch of play from Trevor Lawrence to the Jaguars offense, since week 13, this is the second high, let's start with Lawrence first, actually. Since week 13, second in PFF passing grade among qualified quarterbacks. Let's dig a little bit deeper, though. 15 touchdowns to one interception over this stretch. A 0.9% turnover-worthy play rate. Has not been putting the ball in danger. 8.3 yards per attempt for Trevor Lawrence on an average depth of target of 10.5 yards downfield. And over this stretch since week 13, he is the fourth-best quarterback in EPA and completion percentage over expected composite. This is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL since week 13, Trevor Lawrence. And Jacksonville as a whole since week 13 as well, when this clicked for them, the fifth-best offense by EPA standards, 15th in success rate. So that difference, that delta would tell you maybe a little bit of a reliance on some big plays. We'll see if that maintains itself against Buffalo. And the other part about this matchup, too, is Josh Allen healthy. It's going to be a really big one as we enter this for the Buffalo Bills. His rushing efficiency has dropped off in his last two starts. Coincides with that weird lower body injury that he suffered going back to the Cleveland game. Just look at the last two games, for example, for Josh Allen. 14 attempts, 44 yards on the ground, 3.1 yards per attempt. And he's gone from averaging 3.7 yards per carry after contact in the first 15 games of the season to just 2.5 in his last two. So maybe the week off. Well, actually, technically not a week off. He did get to start the game yesterday and keep his BS going with this start streak, which I don't know about you, but when I look back in the annals of history, when I'm thinking about all the great quarterbacks in the NFL, I will remember that storied start for Josh Allen where he gets credit for Mitchell Trubisky's win in the final week of the season against the New York Jets. Houston Texans on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. No previous meeting between these two either. I think the what I wrote down here, which I am going to be very interested in watching in this matchup in the AFC, is this the biggest difference, the biggest mismatch on paper when you're talking about unit versus unit? The Houston Texans defense versus the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is going to be incredible to watch. Some would say, to invoke the meme, hydrogen bomb versus coughing baby. The Steelers, of course, would be the coughing baby here. But I think that the Steelers deserve a little bit more credit offensively than what we give them credit for. And DK Metcalf, of course, being back is going to help here. But some of the numbers: first in opponent EPA per play, second in success rate, first in EPA per pass, 11th against the run. Those are the Houston Texans metrics as they walk into this game. Steelers, very average on offense, 14th in overall expected points added, 16th in success rate, 16th through the air, and 9th on the ground. Maybe they can run the ball here because that's probably where you're inching closest to the Houston Texans. But whether or not Aaron Rodgers plays well, and we'll have some of the numbers for you a little bit later, that is going to be something to watch. Let's head to the NFC wild card. The Green Bay Packers are on the road against the Chicago Bears. Bears initially open up as a 1.5-point favorite with a total of 47.5. We do have a couple of previous meetings here. And in fact, one of just two contests this wild card weekend in which we have a rematch. Of course, Green Bay wins the first one on the road, at home, 28-21. Have to turn away the Chicago Bears on a final possession at the goal line to get the win and get the cover. And then we remember week 16, where Chicago gets it at home, 22-16 in overtime. The ridiculous end there, the onside kick, everything that needed to happen. Jordan Love getting injured, and here we are now. Let's hear from Ben Johnson, because while I said we're not doing much recapping, we should look back a little bit for Chicago, who seems to have slipped a bit over the last few weeks of the regular season, and that came to a head yesterday in an ugly game against the Detroit Lions. Here's what Ben Johnson had to say about the offense and the performance overall from the Bears.
You know, we got to play better. We got to play better going forward. We got to coach better going forward as well. And, you know, we're turning the page, though. You know, we got the number two seed. We got a home game next week, and we got a new season on the horizon. And so our guys should be reinvigorated by that. I know I certainly am. I'm looking forward to the opportunity and all that that entails, and the opportunity to go 1-0 this next week. We can't dig ourselves in a hole like that, you know, and was disappointed with the offense as a whole. I let those guys know that, and we'll be better for it. You know, we'll address it. We'll get those things cleaned up, and we'll be better for it.
Dominant Bears run game that we've come to really enjoy that has been very good for them, and one of the main reasons why they're at this point the two seed in the NFC. Just 65 yards on 3.6 yards per attempt. Caleb Williams, his worst game in probably about, actually maybe all year long, if you look at some certain metrics here. Two touchdowns, one interception, three turnover-worthy plays, and only 6.4 yards per attempt. Did mercifully complete 60% of his passes. Just the second time he's done that since week 8. But this is going to be the big question for Chicago. Every single metric, you would look at for Chicago. But they would paint the picture of an average team at best that is playing above its skis from a record standpoint. Yet here they are hosting a playoff game as a two seed in the NFC. San Francisco on the road against Philadelphia. This is going to be one of the tougher ones, I think, to put your foot on, whether or not you like a side here. Eagles open up as a three-point favorite with a total of 46.5. The 49ers run into one of the best defenses in the National Football League and get stymied on Saturday, get held to a field goal. And now it's one of the bigger moves you're seeing in the early portion of the wild card move window here. Some spots up to 4.5, as you see right there, shaded to the dog side. Total down to 45.5. I think that makes the most sense. Eagles are a team that I believe in defensively. Offensively, though, is the real question. However, we've seen San Francisco's defense really raise the floor of a lot of the opponents that they have faced. And one of the more interesting matchups, even though it's a 10-point spread, the Los Angeles Rams on the road against the Carolina Panthers, looking for revenge. Go back to week 13. Carolina pulls it off, 31-28. Turnovers are a really big part of it, including a pick six from Matt Stafford. Two fourth down touchdowns for the Carolina Panthers. One, two, potentially. Offensive rookie of the year, Ted Aroa McMillan. That was a 7-point spread. Now we're 10.5 with the Rams. Do we call it limping in? They get a win over the Arizona Cardinals. Some people would say stat padding, Matt Stat Padford, if you will. Either way, don't know if we really trust the Rams the way they've been playing, but Carolina, you talk about falling flat on your face going into the postseason. It's exactly what this team has done as we head into Wild Card Weekend. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Panthers are red hot. Let's ask somebody who would know. Stormy Bonatoni joins us on the other side. We'll get her thoughts on her beloved Carolina Panthers and what we have in store for us later today in the FCS National Championship. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And heading to the postseason, it's all about form. Are you hot? Are you playing well? Are you playing your best football? Did you peak too early in the year? Are you peaking right now? We've seen tons of teams in the National Football League go on runs because they got hot at the right time. And I would argue, a team that has lost two straight, three out of the last four, has not covered consecutive games since going back to week seven, has not won consecutive games since going back to week eight, maybe one of the hottest teams in the National Football League as they come barging into Wild Card Weekend. The Carolina Panthers are 10.5-point dogs and maybe the hottest team in the NFL. Don't take my word for it. Let's head out to Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in Stormy Bonatoni. Does anybody want to see this team the way that they're playing right now, Stormy?
You're the absolute worst for starters, but hello, happy to be with you guys today. What a miracle that they find a way in. How about the Atlanta Falcons helping them out that way? Unreal. I am very happy for the Panthers to win the division, to get in. I feel for Baker Mayfield having to watch from his couch and realize that they're not in, having to watch at home in that way. And as a 49ers fan myself, I kind of went back and forth on this. Like, in one sense, I'm relieved for my household that the seeding played out the way that it did and San Francisco doesn't have to play Carolina. But in reality, and my husband who's sitting with me in this room probably wouldn't like to hear it, I'm sure I and a lot of people would prefer to have that matchup with Carolina if they could. Look at the Rams laying 10.5 already in that game.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were sitting here together. We watched that first one play out. We saw the three turnovers. We saw the way it was going. And it looked like Carolina Panthers were being outperformed, yet they still pulled it off. But the Rams aren't exactly playing well. Can you make the case that they can stay inside of this number? No real adjustment from the first time they played. I mistakenly, for audience, by the way, I said this was a 7-point spread. I was reading the wrong part of my notes. This closed 9.5 or 10, depending on where you looked, when they played back on November 30th. But is there a case to be made, or are we just all out on Bryce Young and the way that he's playing right now?
Well, I think, of course, there's a case to be made, but it depends on which version of the Panthers offense you're going to get on any given day. And it Yep. really depends who's going to show up in what moments. And the big thing for me that, I mean, regardless, I think 10.5 in a playoff game for a Panthers team that's played a lot of close games lately is certainly capable of covering that number. But what would worry me for them is exactly what you laid out with all the turnovers for Los Angeles that day. That's not the norm for Matthew Stafford. I know he's had a couple of games like that lately, but look at the season stats. Look at how efficient he's been over the course of the year. I think that's more of an anomaly than the norm, and I wouldn't expect, you know, three interceptions and a pick six to happen again.
All right, Stormy Bonatoni with us. Follow her up on X at Storm Bonatoni, of course, usually in this seat leading probably not better than I have over the last week, but she'll be back tomorrow. If there's anything about Stormy, she is loyal and she has a lot of loyalties. There are the Carolina Panthers. There are the 49ers, who we'll get to. And then there are the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I think are her second favorite team and maybe choice to win the AFC. Again, I ask, how about that last night? I mean, everything that you wanted, the Pittsburgh Steelers, just how they drew it up, and now they get to play host to the Houston Texans on Monday night.
Is that not absolutely remarkable for them to win in that way? Not only that Boswell misses an extra point for the first time in what feels like absolutely forever, hasn't done that all season, but then to be in a situation at the end of the game where, yes, I mean, credit Aaron Rodgers, final drive, no timeouts, he was awesome, did everything he needed him to do. But for the Ravens to put themselves in a position to have a walk-off field goal and don't get it, and that's what sends you to the playoffs, just remarkable. And I don't know if it was the holy water the priest put in the end zone in that area where Tyler Lute missed the field goal, but I felt for him too, rookie in that position. You know, if you're Baltimore, maybe you wish you set him up in a better way to get him a little bit closer. I know we're seeing kickers hit from 60 plus like it's nothing these days, but a 44 yarder isn't a chip shot for a high pressure moment like that and a rookie kicker in that situation. But we have talked about the Steelers off and on all year long about a group that could be capable when you think about how talented the defense is and the offense is what's been like for years holding them back. But then the defense has had their struggles and you thought maybe Aaron Rodgers could work some magic. I'm astonished at the fact that we got the win total, that we are seeing them in the postseason now, but I feel for them in a matchup with this Houston Texans defense. I know you get DK Metcalf back and maybe offensively things will click at a better rate on your end, but going up against the best defense in the National Football League that has been extremely hot since week four of the season, it's going to be an uphill battle for them that Monday.
And I think we have these all the time, but do we call this a what are we missing special? Baltimore closed as 4.5-point favorites in Pittsburgh last night, and now Houston, a better team by all accounts, laying just 3 on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So even if you want to upgrade home field advantage, to what extent does it make this difference up? So that's going to be one of those that we will keep track of. All right, Stormy is on the road. We'll get to that, but we do have to get your thoughts. Your playoff matchup is set. Your 49ers get to play the Philadelphia Eagles. What do we think? How are we feeling, especially after the dud that your team laid out there on Saturday against the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah. Well, for one, it's no secret the 49ers defense is ripe for the taking. I mean, even against that down Seattle offense, had 18 missed tackles in that game. The one thing that makes you feel good, or at least from my standpoint as a 49ers fan and someone that would like to see them cover this number, if not get the upset, is that the Eagles offense has shortcomings of their own. Like that stretch of 3 straight losses in late November, early December, they couldn't crack 20 points. Even the last game where they did play their starters against Buffalo, it's a 13-12 game. The Eagles offense gets in its own way a lot. And in my mind, if San Francisco's offense plays more up to its capabilities, I like their chances. We know that side of the ball has been extremely effective lately, with the exception of the game against Seattle. Still had a chance to rally late. The tip from Boye Mafe that leads to that backbreaking interception obviously takes away any chance of that. But in general, they score 37 plus 3 straight games prior to that regular season finale. Not since Kyle Shanahan's first game as a head coach with Brian Hoyer as his quarterback have the 49ers been held to just 3 points. I know the Eagles defense is really good, but I think that the 49ers, as long as they can get their run game and you get Trent Williams back at left tackle, hopefully Ricky Pearsall will give you that option to stretch the field a little bit. If they play to, like I said, their capabilities on offense, I think we'll have a really fun game.
All right, let's get to what you're out there for. FCS National Championship tonight, Illinois State taking on Montana State. Montana State about a 10-point favorite, totals about 56.5. So I was talking to our producer, Daniel, a little bit about this. So walk us through this run for Illinois State, because it has been a pretty good one, right? We got some pretty long tickets out there if somebody's sitting on them.
Yeah, this is a team that when the playoff field was set, they were 500-1 second to last on the board. Like, they were one of the absolute longest shots possible in this thing. They even got rocked by 35 points in their regular season finale. But we talk a lot about teams that, I know you were doing it sarcastically, but teams that get hot at the right time. And that's been this Illinois State team 10 out of 10. They are the first team in FCS playoff history to win four straight games on the road to put themselves in this position, which included an upset win over North Dakota State as a 23.5-point underdog, a game that their quarterback, Tommy Rittenhouse, threw five interceptions. Now, three of them were tipped, but still, you don't go down to the Fargo Dome, throw five interceptions, and walk out of that thing with a win. But he had some clutch play late, had two touchdown drives at the end of this thing to win it by one. And that's given them so much confidence that they can play with and beat anyone, and they have. And now it's so interesting that they're taking on a Montana State team that has played in this game. Now, this will be the third time in the last 5 years, but is yet to have a win themselves. And they don't have to face the big, bad North Dakota State this year. They are a double-digit favorite. So you would think, oh, okay, like, this is our golden opportunity, but how dangerous is the team on the other side who's played so well on the road? It's going to be a fascinating matchup. I'm really excited for this game.
First time in my life I've heard the phrase, you just don't go down to the Fargo Dome. So I will be
you
watching and throw five picks. Can't get it out alive. All right, last 90 seconds. I always like to ask you this with all your games. We'll do it here as well. You do like the stories. You like the narratives. Is there a good one that we should be tracking here that you'll be reporting on when we watch the game later today?
Well, it is worth noting Caden Dowler, who is Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year. He's the best player for Montana State on that side of the ball. He left the semifinal game with a pretty bad shoulder injury. Talked to him yesterday. He is feeling good. And I mean, that's going to be critical for him. He's going to be really gutting it out. I heard it's pretty painful. But he and his brother Taco are twin brothers. They are best friends. Caden has not been able to play each of the last 2 years really because of multiple ACL injuries. So for him to be able to play in this game is huge. But Taco is not his brother's real name. His real name is McLean. He has gone by Taco since he was like 3 years old at the breakfast table, just told his family, I proclaim, without using the word proclaim, said, I will be Taco from here on out. And that stuck. Like, he even walked at his high school graduation going by Taco. He tried to make Caden's name Burrito, apparently, but it only lasted for a couple of days. It didn't stick. But Taco did. And I don't know why. I just love that story. I think it's fun. And we'll make sure to get that in a national championship broadcast. Why not?
All right. Well, make sure you watch Stormy. She's been working hard, had a busy week, and she will be back here at the desk tomorrow. Storm, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Have a great show.
Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy, folks, powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every single day. Sign up now. Get daily best bets from the VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and more. Get started today, $9.99, or save 50% off with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We talk all the time here at VSiN about making smarter bets, and smart advertisers are doing the same thing with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage. From premium podcasts and connected TV to data-driven digital campaigns, they deliver measurable ROI. And as VSiN's exclusive ad partner, Mission Media gives you direct access to one of the most loyal, action-oriented sports audiences anywhere. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising@VSiN.com. Back here on Money Moves, Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonatoni out. She'll be back tomorrow. She'll be on the sidelines for the FCS National Championship game tonight. If you're missing her, you can watch that. But we welcome into the Progressive guest line, Chris Becerro, professional bettor. You can follow him up on X at Real Gauge. And before we start to get angry, I wish we had confetti. The winner of the Circa Friday Football Invitational with 78 points. How are we feeling, sir? Congratulations.
No. That's not over yet. We extended the this year. Oh, it's a 20-week contest. Yeah, 20-week contest this year. Matt added two extra weeks. It's a different setup. We have three picks this week and three picks the following week. It's a nice lead, but it's not official yet. Hopefully I don't choke it away like the Ravens did last night.
Okay, we officially take that back. The leader in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Don't want any bad juju out there. We're not calling anything right now. Up with 78 points right now over Chris Felica right now with 73.5. We officially take it back 10-7-1 on the best bets. All right, well then we'll just maintain that. Keep an eye on the Circa Friday Football Invitational. All right, now we'll ingratiate some really bad will. Make your case. Let's go. We are at the end of the regular season. All of the data points are done. Is there a difference? I'll ask you this way, Chris. Is there a difference in what you think will happen versus what you think should happen for MVP?
Oh, I thought I was coming on to talk about Jaylen Brown's 50-burger versus the Clippers the other night.
We can do that.
MVP candidacy. No. No, all seriousness, listen, when we were texting yesterday in the third quarter, this argument had a little bit more weight, but I still think Drake May is definitely in the conversation, although the odds have shifted. Brissett had an interesting play yesterday. The Rams were on the ropes. It was first and 10 from their own 20. He throws a 56-yard pass to Durant. We're looking at first and 10 at the Rams 24. All of a sudden, we see this phantom blindside block brings the whole thing back and kind of went off the rails for the Cardinals. But at one point there, the Cardinals are beating the Rams, and if you just switch out, I know this is kind of crazy. This is the one argument I've had all week. Everyone is just saying the Patriots' schedule is lousy, which I get. But if you just switched out the Jets for the Niners and say the Patriots split with the Niners as the Rams did, that would bring the Rams' record to 134-155 to the Patriots' 131-158. Granted, right now the Rams have a 152-137 record versus their opponents, Patriots. Obviously the worst in football, 113-176. But it really only comes down to the one division game or division team that has such a gaudy record. The Patriots, they play who they have to play. But listen, Drake May all year long has been terrific. He's only 300 yards less passing yards compared to Stafford, but Stafford had 100 more attempts. You got Drake May, highest completion percentage in the league, 72%, 8.9 yards average attempt. And the only two players who've had the highest completion percentage and the highest attempt yardage average in the same season have been Kurt Warner in 2001 and Tom Brady in 2007. They both won the MVP. You have a statue of a quarterback in Stafford, had one rushing yard all year. You have Drake May, 450 yards rushing, four rushing touchdowns. He rushed for 35 first downs. I mean, the guy's been under pressure all year long. The Patriots offensive line, nowhere near what the Rams is. He's been sacked 47 times, only 23 sacks by Stafford. So, I think this thing is a toss up. They made fun of Matt last week for the Jets game, running up the score, getting five touchdowns to get the Jets. Well, what the heck is McVay and Stafford doing yesterday? They're throwing inside the 2-yard line. They got him the four touchdowns. They were obviously going for it too. So, if you're going to make a case that the line moved too much for May last week because he played the Jets, well, maybe the line moved too much for Stafford as well. And I think if Stafford was behind this Patriots offensive line, he wouldn't even have lasted the season. So there's some good points either way. There's some great statistics. QBR and rating both favor May. Both have 8 interceptions. So I think it's right there. It's a toss-up.
I think if there's anything maybe all sides could agree on here, it's the fact that these awards markets really have no clue what's going on. I mean, every single little thing that happens in these contests, they're swinging wildly back and forth. And to your point, if Drake May was nearly a $4 favorite going into last week, nothing transpired yesterday that would make it flip to the point where Matthew Stafford is now a $1.80 favorite.
Yeah, what's weird? And we were watching this during the Heisman voting, too. Ohio State goes for it, doesn't get it, then kicks a field goal and misses the field goal, and then Mendoza's odds go from plus 125 to minus 500. He wasn't even on the field. It was a missed 20-something yard field goal by Ohio State. It's almost the wins, the wins mean so much. Same with, Kyle Shanahan the other night. They lose the game. He was basically right there for Coach of the Year. They lose. He still coached great, a lot of injuries, but now he's 50-1. So it's almost like the team wins and the odds just shift dramatically. I think it's more about liability too with these books. They can only take so much. You don't want to have a big plus number out there. But hey, listen, everyone knows I have 95-1 on Drake May. I haven't been an idiot. I took a bunch more Stafford last week at the plus number. I'm sitting at a great position. Obviously, I win more if May wins, But if Stafford gets the job done, I'm not going to cry about it. You got to position yourself where you can make money. If you have a 95-1 ticket, you can't just sit there the whole time and just, you don't know. Like you said, these markets, it's people voting. We don't know what's in their heads. But if you have a 95-1 ticket, you have to be able to monetize that. And you got to take advantage of that plus money that you got with Stafford last week.
All right, let's talk a little bit of a wild card before we get Chris out of here. Let's stick with this theme. Rams, that last time we saw them go to Carolina, they lost that game to Bryce Young and the Panthers. Stafford turned the ball over a few times, including a pick six. They are laying 10, similar number to what they were the first time around against Carolina. What are we doing with the Rams in this spot on wild card weekend?
I know it's tough to do. You got to kind of hold your nose and take it. But I like Carolina in this game. You know, the last three games, they've been holding opponents to 4.8 yards of carry on, 4.8 yards of play on defense. So the defense is pretty good. I mean, I don't have that much faith in Bryce Young, but you can get some activity on this back end of this Rams defense. I know they have the ferocious front four. You have Verse, Young, Turner, but you can get some yardage in the back end. Their secondary is weak. In the last four games, if you weren't playing Arizona, they gave up 27, 38, 34, and 31 points. So I think this Rams defense is leaking a little oil. And the main reason I like them is, hey, they were over in Atlanta on Monday night, December 29th, fly back to L.A. to play yesterday, and now they're going to go on the road again to Carolina to play a Saturday game, early body clock situation. So that's, you know, you're playing three games in 12 days. You have three cross-country flights in between. I just think, it's tough to really like Carolina. I don't think they can win the game, but I think they can hang within the number. It's supposed to be a rainy kind of situation again, not as bad as the Tampa rain, but it's supposed to be rain throughout the game. I could see it just being an ugly game, you know, maybe some slipping and sliding. These receivers that have been playing indoors all season, great conditions. You know, Matt Stafford, you know, the older quarterback, maybe not as mobile as a Drake May. You know, you're outside in the rain. Could be a little bit of a different situation. And I kind of like the points. I mean, a home dog in the playoffs getting 10.5 points, you gotta take it. It's a tough one to go with. I know nobody likes Carolina. I know that NFC South is an ugly division. But, hey, 10.5, 10 points at home in a playoff game, give me it.
All right, let's talk. We have 2 minutes here with you again. Chris Becerra, professional better, at Real Gage up on X. I have talked to six people. All six have said Jacksonville. Will you be the seventh in this game against the Bills?
I know it's a tough one. You don't want to go against Josh Allen. I'm not jumping to take one or 1.5, but I am leaning on a 6.5 point teaser where you can get Jacksonville up to 8. Yep. And I like it with San Francisco up to 10.5. You figure in the San Fran game, you have a great offense. Hopefully they get Trent Williams back. It's a totally it's a difference maker. If they don't have Trent Williams back, I'd avoid the San Fran game. If they get him back, they get Pearsall back, that offense should be able to score. We've seen Philly struggle all year on the offensive end. So even though San Fran has a bad defense, what can Philly put up? And then the Buffalo-Jacksonville game, you know you're going to be able to get points on Buffalo. You're going to be able to run the ball on them. So if you can get up to 8 points in a teaser at home, a Jacksonville offense with the new guy on the guy that we left for dead, Trevor Lawrence, he's having a revival. He's looking good, a lot of confidence. You got to like an 8 point teaser there, or getting 8 points in a 6.5 point teaser with Jacksonville at home against a Buffalo defense that just hasn't been able to do it all year and susceptible to giving up points.
Yep, it's the first thing I did. I got a Packers-Jags teaser. So going into this weekend, I'm feeling pretty confident about that. Chris, thank you very much. Good luck going forward to the Circuit Friday Football Invitational. Appreciate the time today, dude.
I hope you didn't jinx me. Tim Murray likes to usually try to pull the jinx on me.
No.
Hopefully we'll be okay. We get a couple picks in and we'll be all set.
That was accidental, not intentional. I think the jinx is only when you're intentional. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it again. Chris Becerra at Real Gage. We'll take our break. We come back. Got to get to some of the firings and the new regimes that are starting to form in the National Football League. We'll update you on the latest in some of the coaching hirings, firings, and more in the NFL.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's the Monday after the NFL season ends. We do have Wild Card Weekend coming up. We'll have more on those contests in a little bit. We'll also have an awards refresher, if you will. I'm curious. We'll have some conversations about this. Outside of most valuable player, we have a lot of odds-on favorites to win these awards. I think there's a couple that might not be as strong as the odds suggest. We'll talk about that coming up in 15 minutes. But on this Monday, we should go over a lot of the hirings. I keep saying hirings, firings. We haven't had any hirings yet. There are some names out there we could discuss that will maybe be hired and some powerful ones. But we do have a lot of new faces that will be filling holes for NFL teams moving forward. So let's discuss what we have here for some of the firings that have taken place over the last 12 hours or so. The first one that really came down, the Falcons, and I think a lot of people were expecting this, Raheem Morris has been fired along with GM Terry Fontenot. Morris had been with the team since 2004. He finished 2 games under .500. Fontenot, since 2021, did not have a winning record during the time in which he was in charge of the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons, low-key, in an interesting spot. You're probably sitting here thinking that you got to go and give Michael Penix Jr. one more crack at this, considering what you invested in him from a first-round pick standpoint, especially where he was selected. But you get into this weird nexus, this weird cycle over and over and over again of new GM and new coach, but quarterback that was not selected by either. And how that works as you move forward is going to be pretty interesting. But I don't think a lot of people were surprised that he was going to be fired. That would be, of course, Raheem Morris. Had not gone well. And I think that we're going to look at a team that, once again, next year, depending on what the hire is, every single year the Atlanta Falcons are a team that we look at and go, oh, you know, well, it looks pretty good. You know, the skill positions might not be that bad. And depending on who the hire is going to be, it will be an attractive job considering the weapons. And you do wonder if maybe there's some offensive minds out there that would bite at the chance to go and get them. One of those names, for example, could be Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski, mercifully, I would assume, at his end, gets fired by the Cleveland Browns today. He ends his tenure 45-56. He gets to the playoffs twice. Last two seasons, he won a total of 8 games. This season was their fourth losing season under Stefanski. And I think Stefanski is going to be a very, very hot commodity. And I don't think I'm the only person that thinks that. He's probably right away at the top of a lot of lists. One report earlier today insinuated that the Giants had moved him to the front of the line when it came to the candidates that were potentially going to be available for them to go ahead and hire. And this is, I think, a smaller sign of a bigger picture here for the NFL coaching cycle this time around. This had looked like, on the surface, a pretty weak group of guys that were going to get these jobs in the NFL. There were not a lot of great hires potentially sitting out there for some of these jobs. I think part of it, I mean, he's a good coach, but I think it's also why a guy like Marcus Freeman at one point was considered to be a favorite to land the New York Giants coaching jobs. When you looked around, you're seeing some of the guys like Matt Nagy, who allegedly interviewed for the Tennessee Titans job. That is a name that last time around wasn't particularly great, so maybe he got a little bit better. But at the same time, if that's one of the top candidates potentially out there to fill a head coaching vacancy, that's probably going to be pretty rough. So Stefanski immediately leaps to the top, and I think with a better structure around him, a better chance at getting a quarterback that actually can run his system, he's done a pretty good job with his offense in terms of getting Chardonnay out of a rock, if you will. And I do think that's going to be one that whoever gets Stefanski is going to make out like a bandit there. Not a surprise here either. The turmoil continues out here in Sin City as Pete Carroll was fired his first season with the team. Supposedly a lot of energy, supposedly an adult in the room. You heard a lot of different stuff when Pete Carroll got hired last year. And there were not many that I bought it that I had spoken to. And here we are. After a year in which they ended this, excuse me, started the season with a win, and they ended with one as well, Pete Carroll is out. You could see the tumult for the Raiders in recent history when it comes to their head coach. In 2021, John Gruden resigns. Josh McDaniels is then hired. Josh McDaniels gets fired in 2023. Antonio Pierce gets hired because of that one win on Christmas against the Chiefs. He is fired in 2025. And then Pete Carroll, of course, hired, is here for 1 year, and subsequently fired. I don't need to say anything that I think anybody else isn't thinking, which is the Raiders need to get their crap together and find somebody that can actually lead this. And you will hear undoubtedly from Las Vegas and people who cover the team or around the team that whatever the next hire is, it could be me, for example, and you're going to hear how great it is. But I will say this. There is a coaching pairing that has been allegedly thrown out there that Tom Brady, according to reports, really wants to push for. And that would be Brian Flores being the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, with Dable coming in as the offensive coordinator for Las Vegas. That is a pairing that I think would be really, really strong for Las Vegas. Flores very clearly still has his fastball as a defensive coordinator. He has been brilliant. He carried the Vikings to the end of the season at this point. And to have Dable, who I think much like Stefanski, maybe not from a head coaching standpoint, but from an offensive play calling standpoint, a structure standpoint, he can actually put together an offense that's going to be very good. Obviously, with the first overall pick as well, that's really going to help you in terms of building this up. We'll get to odds for the first overall pick and who the Raiders might select with that selection. But if you can nail that, and if you can put those two together, I think that's a very strong foundation for the Raiders. And they did retain John Spytek at general manager. I don't think that's a surprise. I thought one of the interesting aspects of my trip out to New Orleans last year for the Super Bowl on Radio Row, because I work local for our national audience who won't know that, and there was a lot of people that we didn't even ask them to come up, would just come up to our booth, seeing that we were from Las Vegas, and tell us, with unprompted, that John Spytek was a very good general manager, that the Las Vegas Raiders had something in Spytek. You hear some of the rumblings that maybe he wasn't allowed to fully work the way he wanted to when it came to the draft, when it came to acquiring certain pieces, potentially like a Geno Smith. So maybe now Spytek gets to do everything he wants to do for the Las Vegas Raiders. We will see if that is the case, but Spytek sticks around. Pete Carroll is out. This will be their sixth head coach since moving to Las Vegas in 2020. And then some of the later news that came down about an hour or two ago, but the Cardinals have decided to move on from Jonathan Gannon. Lost 9 straight games to end the season. In his third year, ended up going 15-36. And for some of these coaches, at the very least, if you're a coach that has, like Gannon, a defensive background, if you're going to at least be able to point to the fact that your defense has been performing well, but it's your offense because of quarterback or whatever it is that's been struggling, maybe you have that to hang your hat on that saves your job. But for Gannon, the defense had been regressed to a large extent this year, and the losing, of course, absolutely brutal. And as you see it there, too, some of those losses, not even close down the stretch for the Cardinals. They were getting uglier by the day, including going back to that Week 14 game against the Rams. Just essentially blowouts for the Cardinals to end the year heading out into the season. So not a giant surprise that Gannon was let go. This is a team that I think needs a full rebuild as well. And it does beg the question, too. What happens with a guy like Kyler Murray? I think we all know that he is going to be gone. The question is, where eventually does he end up? And the Cardinals enter the conversation as a team that is at or near the top of the draft that needs a quarterback desperately in what could be considered, we'll call it, a two quarterback draft when it comes to just Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza, not in that order, potentially being the selections there. For some of the retentions in the National Football League, I don't think it's a big surprise, not because he's had success, but because the Bengals are a franchise that runs this way. Zach Taylor is back. The Bengals have missed the playoffs for 3 straight seasons. Joe Burrow missed 9 games, as we know, this year with that toe injury. He's been talking a lot about just the future and his happiness. Zach Taylor was an interesting topic of conversation in conversing about this yesterday with some folks, in that you can make the argument that he hasn't been given a fair shake considering that Joe Burrow cannot stay healthy. You can also point the finger at him and say, well, how much of the way you build this team, the defense, the offensive line, the duress that Joe Burrow finds himself under on a down-to-down basis, how much of it is at your hands here when you talk about dealing with your director of player personnel and managing this and finding guys and developing talent that ultimately gets you there? You can't point the finger at your defense coordinator. Lou Anarumo left Cincinnati and he went to Indianapolis, and he did a really good job for the Indianapolis Colts this year. It's not the coordinator, it's the personnel, and it's the inability to develop said personnel. As an offensive guy, maybe that doesn't fall at his feet, but I think it's somewhat surprising from a production standpoint that Taylor's back, but given the history of the Cincinnati Bengals, not entirely surprising that you're there. Joe Shane's back as well for the New York Giants, 22-55-1 during his time as general manager. Having said that, the Giants did cite some of the young core talent they have. That includes Jackson Dart, the potential winner of Offensive Rookie of the Year. We'll get to that momentarily here. But he will be back. Only made the playoffs 1 time in 4 seasons at the helm, and we mentioned it with the Cleveland Browns. We'll mention it very quickly here again. GM Andrew Berry, he will remain. He's been the Browns GM since 2020. Does look like he did a pretty good job. I mean, at one point, it looked like potentially the Browns, outside of Myles Garrett, they were going to have maybe 3 award winners, despite the fact that they had done absolutely nothing. We know that Carson Schwessinger right now is the odds-on favorite to win NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. And at one point, Harold Fannin was making a push for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Not going to win it, but still, they had done a pretty good job in some other pieces in between that Barry had maybe hit on. So some thought that you're heading potentially in the right direction. Still haven't nailed the most important spot, though, which is quarterback, and we'll see if the Browns can do just that. We'll see if also some other names pop up. One of the things that we have not heard, we did get a weird report a couple of weeks ago that maybe a guy like Mike McDaniel would potentially be safe, but nothing official in terms of an announcement as to whether or not he will remain with Miami. The more this goes on, the more maybe we expect that he is going to stick around, but I would be surprised. We'll see if they want to charge him with the rebuild. Let's get to the awards on the other side. Not the MVP, not the, hey, I think this guy should win. Let's take a look at the odds-on favorites to win every other award and find out which of these are the weakest and maybe some spots that we can grab some plus prizes to potentially sneak out a win for some of these awards. We'll discuss that when we come back.